Grace, to you, and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. These two middle Sundays of Advent, the gospel lessons are always given over to John the Baptist. And at last week, we talked about the now and the not yet to the prophet. And John, according to Jesus, is the greatest of the prophets. It's that now that's important. The prophet summons us to what in Greek is kairos time. It's the appointed time. And the axe is already at the root of the tree. Our world has a few problems with that prophetic now. We don't keep it connected to the Word of God. We listen to people calling for something now, often in the name of God. And we don't hear or test the proclamation against the Word. We gather people who are telling our itching ears what we want to hear. We'd rather put it off. When that appointed time comes, we reply, "Let me go and bury my father." Or, "I just bought a farm and I have to go take care of that." But maybe the toughest thing for the now is the not yet. The promises are part of the now. Now you have eternal life in Christ. But then we experience a funeral. We hear the promises of a righteous branch who will rule in justice. And then we experience repeated injustice. There's a fancy, funny term for this. We try to immanentize the eschaton, to make the kingdom come in its fullness, right now, by our own power. And of course, when we do that, it usually ends in the absurdity of that Vietnam phrase, "We had to destroy the village in order to save it." I should mention that a more traditional reading of this text places John the Baptist in a teaching room. He sends his disciples to Jesus intentionally. Whether that was to allow Jesus to give the answer he gives, or to give John's disciples one more chance to leave John and to follow the Lamb, depends upon the commentator. They all ascribe a sage-like wisdom to John and his question to Jesus. And that satisfies a certain intellectual quality in me, and it firmly keeps the halo on John the Baptist's head. But when I read the text, none of that makes emotional sense. John's sitting in prison. The only thing that's keeping him alive is that Herod has a sentimental fear of the prophet. And Salome hasn't done her dance yet. And everything that he's prophesied doesn't really look like it's happening. Where is the Messiah swinging the axe? Where's the threshing floor being cleared? Where's the baptism of fire? Are you the one who is to come? Or should we expect another? Was I wrong? Are you not the one? I'm sitting in prison for something that isn't happening. Or maybe even, "Hey, get with it, Jesus. The kingdom I said was near, it should be here by now. Get me out of prison. I said now, and you're making me look worse than Jeremiah." that always made more emotional sense to me. It's the emotions of the not yet. And Jesus' answer to the problems of the not yet has three different levels, I think. He tells John's disciples to go back to John and tell him three things. The first is simply the listing of the miracles that they have seen. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the lepers are cleansed, the dead are raised. In short, the signs of the Messiah are being done, what you heard in the Isaiah passage. Jesus would say in the Gospel of John, if you don't believe me, believe the miracles. Ultimately, such a faith based totally on the miracles is not complete. You believe because you have seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And both Galatians and the book of Revelation would complicate that today. If someone shows up doing miracles but proclaiming a different gospel, something that Revelation says will happen, don't believe them. You've got to check it with the gospel which you have received. But the miracles of Jesus are proofs that he is the one that he claims to be. So John gets his answer. You haven't prophesied in vain. Yes, I am the one. But the next two parts of the answer are of the not yet. The miracles are works of power and glory, but now is not the day of the final clearing of the threshing floor. The kingdom is here now, but not yet in the fullness of its glory. Because now the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. The winnowing fork is not out pushing the chaff into unquenchable fire right now, because now is the time to proclaim the peace of God. That peace that comes to all of us poor, miserable sinners. We might think we want the kingdom in its full power. We may want to immanentize the eschaton. But know what that means. It would mean the day of grace is over. It's a bit like the end of the book of Jonah that the Sunday school lessons skip over. Jonah retires outside of Nineveh, waiting for the fire and the brimstone to rain down upon that city. And when it doesn't, he gets mad and complains. And God gives him a little lesson with a vine. It's amusing. I'd say go and read the last chapter of Jonah. But the question of it is, are you sure you want this on your time and not on God's appointed time? Are you sure that you are that wise? We live in the not yet, because now it's God's appointed time for the poor, including us, to have the good news proclaimed to them. Jesus' third response to John is the brutal honesty of living in the now and the not yet. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. This is the only Messiah we get. We get the Messiah of the cross. We get the Messiah who comes in weakness. We get the Messiah who comes in promise and peace and grace. And this is how God has chosen to act. We might think, like Job, that God owes us an answer for why we don't get justice now. But we don't. We just get a Messiah who suffers with us. We might think, like Jonah, we know who God should cast away now. Yet the Messiah we have tells us that the prostitutes and tax collectors are entering the kingdom first. We might think that we know the when and the where and the how that God should act, but God has acted in Jesus. And he's here now in bread and wine. And he shows up wherever two or three are gathered in his name, and usually not in respectable places. Blessed is the one who is not offended by me. John, you, everyone who might not like the look of this Messiah and how he has chosen to act. Tough. This is the Messiah we get. And he's not changing his plans because we don't like him and his way. Make your choice. John's answers, or Jesus' answers to John, I think are meaningful to us. But it's also at this point that Jesus turns to the crowds. And there's a distinction between John and the crowds. John is one who believes. His faith may not be perfect. Whose is? But it is faith. Call it a faith-seeking understanding. The crowds are a mixture. The crowds are mostly there looking for their fill of bread, their daily entertainment. But Jesus challenges those crowds in two ways. What did you come to see? Why are you in church today? Did you come out to hear someone tell you whatever the conventional wisdom of the day is? The conventional wisdom will change tomorrow as the wind changes. And that reed that is telling you that will blow that way on that day. There are better places to hear that than the wilderness. Go pick up your daily paper. Are you interested in power and influence? The C-suites and the senator's offices and $5,000 suits are a long way from here. What did you come out to hear? If your answer is not the word of God, it's the wrong answer. And that word of God is supposed to be challenging, like the Baptist's word. And you'll know it when you hear it. And when you hear it, that appointed time has come. Now is the day of your grace. But Jesus' second words to the crowd reminds them of the not yet of that grace. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. When you accept the grace, you accept the cross. In the now, the kingdom suffers violence. The devil is out there seeking whom he may devour. The world, the violent, will persecute it. And even our own flesh seems to be at war with the spirit that lives within it. The kingdom that comes now by grace is a kingdom often seen in suffering. That kingdom will come in power. Everything that John prophesied comes, the axe and the division and the threshing floor, the justice of the king, but not yet. Now, the kingdom suffers violence. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen.